This is the Music Halls of Fame podcast. This week, we honored the year in music for 1996, along with a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 1996. We also make the case for putting the Runaways into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Plus, our Spotlight Hall of Fame is the Canadian Music Hall of Fame in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Before we get going with the podcast, like everyone tells you, please like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell so you'll know when these podcast episodes drop, which is usually every Thursday. Now, on to this week's episode. The year was 1996. In music, two teenagers tried to blame the song Israel's Son by Silverchair for them killing their parents and their younger brother. The jury didn't buy the excuse. Jimmy Buffett's plane was accidentally fired upon by Jamaican authorities after being mistaken for a drug trafficking plane. The La Fenice Opera House in Venice, Italy burned down. Lisa Marie Presley and Michael Jackson divorced. The first Tibetan Freedom Concert was held. MC Hammer filed for bankruptcy. Dave Gahan of Depeche Mode overdosed on speed and cocaine and was pronounced clinically dead for 2 minutes before being revived. He was then arrested and ordered to spend 9 months in rehab. Walmart refused to sell Sheryl Crow's new album because Sheryl had a lyric about kids killing each other with guns that were bought in Walmart stores, proving yet again that cancel culture is absolutely nothing new. It's been going on for decades. David Bowie became the first major label artist to sell a digital single when he released his song Telling Lies. David was always years ahead of his time. And Alice in Chains played their last concert with lead singer Layne Staley. Staley passed away 2 years later from a drug overdose. The MTV2 video channel launched, as did MTV India, and the VH1 TV concert series Storytellers premiered, as did their TV show Pop-Up Video. Bands that formed in 1996 included Three Doors Down, 98 Degrees, The Calling, Alien Ant Farm, D12, The Dropkick Murphys, Drowning Pool, Sharon Jones, Linkin Park, Low Fidelity All-Stars, Queens of the Stone Age, Skillet, Sum 41, and Switchfoot. Bands that broke up before, of course, their inevitable reunions or announced their hiatus included the Stone Roses, The House of Pain, Take That, Four Non-Blondes, The Amps, Belly, Bizarre Inc., Carnivore, Crowded House, Damn Yankees, D-Light, The Divinyls, Extreme, Fleetwood Mac, Fine Young Cannibals, Kix, Metal Church, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, The Outlaws, The Pogues, Sushi and the Banshees, Skid Row, Spongehead, Sublime, Tesla, Ultravox, The Velvet Underground, and Wrecks and Effects. Bands that actually reformed in 1996 included the classic lineup of Kiss, The Monkees, New Edition, Poison, Devo, Supertramp, and the Patti Smith Band. Artists who were born in 1996 include singers and actresses Florence Pugh, Zendaya, Haley Steinfeld, and Abigail Breslin. Also, DJ and producer Martin Garrix, rappers 6ix9ine, Lil Peep, Lil Xan, and Playboi Carti. Singers Lorde, Alessia Cara, Summer Walker, Louis Capaldi, Jack Galinsky, Luke Hemmings, Austin Mahone, Calum Hood of 5 Seconds of Summer, Lauren Ann Normani from Fifth Harmony, Kevin Abstract of Brockhaven, and Jenny Kim of Blackpink. Bradley Knoll of Sublime passed away from a heroin overdose in 1996. Tupac Shakur was gunned down in a drive-by shooting in Las Vegas. Other artists who passed away in 1996 included composer Irving Cesar, singer Farron Young, musician Bill Monroe, entertainers Gene Kelly, Audrey Meadows, and Minnie Pearl, jazz great Ella Fitzgerald, singer Tiny Tim, jazz musician Eddie Harris, Turkish singer Zeki Muren, Brazilian singer Renato Russo, Chas Chandler of the Animals, Rob Collins of the Charlatans, Mel Taylor of the Ventures, Danish composer Von Holmbo, German musician Rio Reiser, composer David Tudor, musician Johnny Guitar Watson, bassist Bernard Edwards of Chic, musician Jeffrey Lee Pierce, Mexican singer Lola Beltran, Polish composer Mieczysław Weinberg, musician Jerry Mulligan, composer Jonathan Larson, musician Les Baxter, and also Edom Ephraim and Dennis Fuller of the duo The London Boys, who passed away in an auto accident, tragically. Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill was the best-selling album of 1996, followed by Celine Dion's Falling Into You, The Fugees' Score, No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom, Mariah Carey's Daydream, Tupac's All Eyes on Me, Metallica's Load, Toni Braxton's Secrets, Shania Twain's The Woman in Me, and Oasis's classic album What's the Story, Morning Glory. In country music, it was the year of Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, who got married late in the year. Big albums for the year included Leanne Rimes' Blue, George Strait's Blue Clear Sky, Brooks and Dunn's Borderline, Alan Jackson's Everything I Love, Reba McEntire's What If It's You, Deanna Carter's Did I Shave My Legs for This?, Clint Black's greatest hits, Wynonna's Revelations, and comedian Jeff Foxworthy's music album, Crank It Up, the music album. As far as country singles went, Brian White had big hits Rebecca Lynn and So Much for Pretending. George Strait had the hits Blue Clear Sky and Carried Away. Other big hits included Garth Brooks's The Beaches of Cheyenne, Trisha Yearwood's Believe Me, Baby, I Lied, Joe Diffie's Bigger Than the Beatles, Ricochet's Daddy's Money, and Rhett Atkins' Don't Get Me Started. Meanwhile, back in pop, Los Del Rio had the biggest selling single of the year with the Bayside Boys remix of their song The Macarena. Macarena also happened to be the biggest selling song of the decade of the 90s. Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men's song One Sweet Day spent 16 consecutive weeks at number one, breaking the record for the longest time spent at number one on the singles chart. They would end up keeping that record for almost 20 years. It has since been shattered. Other big sellers from the year included Celine Dion's Because You Love Me, the Tony Rich Project's Nobody Knows, Mariah Carey's Always Be My Baby, Tracy Chapman's Give Me One Reason, Bone Thugs and Harmony's classic The Crossroads, Donna Lewis's I Love You Always Forever, Toni Braxton's You're Making Me High, and Keith Sweat's Twisted. In hard rock, Sammy Hagar left Van Halen, then David Lee Roth rejoined Van Halen, then David Lee Roth was let go from Van Halen. Then Gary Cherone from Extreme replaced David Lee Roth in Van Halen. It was that kind of a year, people. The Ramones played their last show as a group. Slash announced that he was leaving Guns N' Roses via fax. What's a fax? Well, it's a... You know what? Just Google it. You're too young. Meanwhile, in hip-hop, Tupac's album All Eyes on Me became the first double album to be released in hip-hop. He also released the Don Killuminati, the 7-Day Theory. The iconic freestyle track June 27th was recorded by DJ Screw and the Screwed Up Click. Jay-Z released his debut album, Reasonable Doubt. Other big albums were LL Cool J's Mr. Smith, Busta Rhymes' The Coming, Snoop Dogg's The Dogfather, Nas's It Was Written, and the Fugees' The Score. Singles-wise, Tupac had the two biggest songs of the year, California Love and How Do You Want It with Casey and JoJo. Everyone's favorite Pouring One Out for My Homie song, The Crossroads by Bone Thugs and Harmony, was third, followed by LL Cool J's Loungin', Coolio with 1, 2, 3, 4, Get Your Woman on the Floor, better known as 1, 2, 3, 4, Something New, technically. Also, Busta Rhymes' Woo-Ha, Got You All in Check, LL's Doin' It, Outkast's Elevators, Criss Cross's Tonight's the Night, and Junior Mafia and Biggie's Get Money. In dance music, hip-hop and R&B artists ruled the crossover dance charts with songs by Blackstreet, Faith Evans, R. Kelly and Ronald Isley, Busta Rhymes, Jay-Z and Foxy Brown, Tupac, Toni Braxton, and Nas, all hitting number one on the dance charts. As far as the more quote-unquote legit EDM artists went, Christine W., Robert Miles, Faithless, Deborah Cox, and the Bucketheads were all big that year. The iconic album Northern Exposure from Sasha and John Digweed was released in 1996. Faithless's classic song Insomnia, I Can't Get No Sleep, was released in 1995 but became a huge hit in 1996. Todd Terry's remix of Everything But the Girls Missing You was also released in 1995 and became huge in 1996, becoming both a huge club and pop radio hit. In musical theater, the musical Rent premiered. In Latin music, the big artists were Selena, Enrique Iglesias, The Gypsy Kings, Los Del Rio, Gloria Estefan, Luis Miguel, La Mafia, Christian Castro, Marco Antonio Solis, and Pete Astudillo. In awards for the music of 1996, at the Grammys, Celine Dion won Album of the Year for Falling Into You, Eric Clapton won Record and Song of the Year for Change the World, and Leanne Rimes won Best New Artist. They don't call them the Grammy Awards for nothing, you know. At the American Music Awards, Eric Clapton, Hootie and the Blowfish, and Alanis Morissette were the big winners. At the Billboard Music Awards, Alanis Morissette won Artist of the Year. At the MTV Video Music Awards, Tonight Tonight, the Smashing Pumpkins video ode to Busby Berkeley, won Video of the Year. Brooks and Dunn won Entertainer of the Year at the Academy of Country Music Awards. Tony Rich, Tony Braxton, and Tupac were the big winners at the Soul Train Music Awards. At the Eurovision Singing Contest, which was held that year in Oslo, Norway, Ireland won for the song The Voice. At the Tony Awards, Rent won Best Musical, and The King and I won Best Revival of a Musical. Musically, at the Academy Awards, The English Patient won Best Film Score, while You Must Be Loved from the movie Evita won Best Song. The Pulitzer Prize for Music was shared by George Walker for Lilacs for Soprano and Orchestra, Peter Lieberson for Variations for Violin and Piano, and Elliot Carter for Adagio Tenebroso. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony was held on January 17th at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. Of the artists who were being inducted, David Bowie, Roger Waters, and Syd Barrett from Pink Floyd, and Grace Slick from Jefferson Airplane did not show up for the ceremony. At the ceremony, however, the hall inducted rock and roll disc jockey Tom Big Daddy Donahue into the non-performers category. Pete Seeger was inducted into the early influencers category. And in the performers category, the hall inducted Jefferson Airplane, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Pink Floyd, The Shirelles, The Velvet Underground, Little Willie John, and this next artist. He was born on January 8, 1947. Growing up, he became hooked on rock and roll, especially Elvis Presley, the man who he actually shares a birthday with. He also developed a fondness for theatrical performances, a characteristic that would help shape his career. He started out recording under his own name while he was part of a group called Davy Jones with his King Bees in 1963. In January 14, 1966, he released a single called Can't Stop Thinking About Me under his new last name, Bowie, as in David Bowie. He took the name Bowie from the popular Bowie knife, and he actually had to change his last name so he wouldn't be confused with another artist who was gaining popularity on a TV show at that point, otherwise known as Davy Jones from the TV show and the band The Monkees. In June of 1969, David was on the outs with his record label. His first album was a complete flop, and he was looking for a new record label at that point. His manager negotiated a one record deal with another label, so into the studio he went. And on June 22, 1969, he recorded a reworked version of a song he had recorded earlier that year for a promotional film. The song was inspired by another film, 2001: A Space Odyssey. The song was released on July 11, 1969. The song's timing was intentional. At that time in history, the Apollo space missions were huge news. Apollo 11, in fact, had taken off on its history-making voyage to the moon. The song wasn't released until after the mission, since it told the story of an astronaut who was lost during a space mission. Once the song was released, it became a big hit in England, and Bowie finally found his foot in the door in the music industry. The astronaut who was lost on the song's mission, by the way, was Major Tom, and he was actually found in the 1980s in a sequel of sorts to the song, Major Tom Coming Home by Peter Schilling. Bowie's song, Space Oddity, is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as one of the 500 songs that helped shape rock and roll. Though he finally had a hit on his hands in 1969, it wasn't until 1972 that he took glam rock by the throat and made it his own by creating a character named Ziggy Stardust. Then, once he was finished with that character, he created a new one called the Thin White Duke. In the 1970s, Bowie put out classic albums Scary Monsters, Aladdin Sane, Diamond Dogs, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, Young Americans, Heroes, and Station to Station, all the while being innovative with every new character he portrayed. David also became an actor, performing on Broadway in the play The Elephant Man and alongside a very young Jennifer Connelly and creatures from Jim Henson's workshop in the movie Labyrinth. As the 1980s began, David wanted to take his career in a new direction. What he really wanted at that point in his career was mass popularity. He wanted hit singles, at least at that moment in time. Enter Nile Rodgers. Nile Rodgers was born in 1952 in New York City. In 1970, both he and Bernard Edwards formed the band Chic. The band's debut album in 1977 came out at the perfect time as disco was just beginning to hit its peak. The album had the disco hits Dance, Dance, Dance and Everybody Dance. 1978's Chez Chic had the hit song that inspired the dance craze Le Freak, along with the song I Want Your Love. 1979's album Risqué had the classic songs Good Times, whose bass line inspired artists like Duran Duran's John Taylor to play bass guitar, and inspired songs like Queen's Another One Bites the Dust and was ripped off slash sampled extremely heavily for the groundbreaking hip-hop single Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang. Once Chic broke up in the early 1980s, Rodgers went on to write songs for such artists as Sister Sledge, Daft Punk, and Diana Ross. He also helped to produce a number of popular albums like INXS's Original Sin, Duran Duran's Notorious, and Madonna's Like a Virgin. According to Billy Idol, the story goes that in 1982, while Nile was extremely hot at that point, Billy and Nile were at an after-hours club in New York City and saw Bowie sitting at a booth by himself. Both of them were afraid to go up to him because, while both of them had hits on the charts for a few years by then, David Bowie was already musical royalty and held icon status for musicians even in the early 1980s. Eventually, both of them went over to say hi. From that meeting, Bowie got the idea to work with Rodgers on his next album, Let's Dance, instead of his usual producer, Tony Visconti. The album itself only took 17 days to record and mix, as David came into the sessions with a bunch of ideas already. One of those ideas was the album's lead single and title track. David wrote the song as, in his words, a folk song. Nile took the song, rearranged it, and gave it a beat. Nile also played guitar on the song. That long guitar solo at the end of the song was done by the late great blues guitarist Mr. Stevie Ray Vaughan, who Bowie had met in 1982 at a music festival. The song Let's Dance became Bowie's biggest selling single of his career and helped the Let's Dance album sell almost 11 million copies worldwide. Let's Dance, the song, hit number one in 14 different countries, including America, where it was also the 18th biggest single of 1983. The album was nominated for Album of the Year, where it lost to that guy with the one glove who did that dance called the Moonwalk. That's Michael Jackson, for those of you who don't know. Anyway, Bowie would go on to make a couple more albums that were geared towards his new mass audience, but neither of them did as well as Let's Dance. He would go back to his innovative style with a band project called Tin Machine, along with working with Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails fame. On January 8th, 2016, David Bowie released his final album, Black Star. People didn't realize it at the time, but the album was about his death, as he had privately been dealing with liver cancer for 2 years prior to that and poured every ounce of his energy that he had left into his family and his work. On January 10th, 2016, 2 days after release of his final album and 2 days after his birthday, David Bowie passed away. David Bowie released 26 studio albums, 9 live albums, and 2 soundtrack albums, 26 compilation albums, 8 extended play albums, 128 singles, and 6 box sets. He also recorded over 400 songs. He had hits like Heroes, Fame, Let's Dance, China Girl, Modern Love, Blue Jean, The Man Who Sold the World, Young Americans, Space Oddity, Ashes to Ashes, I'm Afraid of Americans, Fashion, and the list goes on and on. David was nominated for 113 various worldwide awards, winning 43 of them, including 6 Grammy Awards and 4 MTV Video Music Awards. 5 of his albums made Rolling Stone magazine's 500 Greatest Albums of All Time list, while 7 of his songs made Rolling Stone magazine's 500 Greatest Songs of All Time list. Trendsetter, innovator, the man who changed his name from Davy Jones so he wouldn't be confused with Davy Jones of the Monkees, Major Tom, Starman, the Thin White Duke, Ziggy Stardust. We pay homage and much respect to the man who influenced music for 6 decades and to this very day. There will not be another performer like him, unfortunately, for quite some time, I'm afraid. Presented for induction by another David, David Byrne of 2002 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, the Talking Heads, David Bowie. Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, class of 1996. Before we get to the rest of the podcast, we'd like to tell you about our other podcast, the Music History Today podcast. Every day we tell you what happened on that date in music history, along with music releases, birthdays, and passings. So, if you like this podcast and want more music history, then please search the Music History Today podcast in audio or video form on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast from. This week, we're going to make the case for putting the Runaways into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Simply put, how in the world is this group not in yet? The Runaways were one of the first all-female hard rock bands in an extremely male music industry that wanted their girl groups to be dainty and in skirts. The Runaways were having none of that. Blue jeans, leather, in your face, that was the way these ladies played. As far as who they influenced, how about every hard rocking female band and performer out there today? Pat Benatar, the Go-Go's, the Bangles, who actually had former Runaways bassist Mickey Steele in it, L7, the Donnas, and the list goes on and on. To get your feet wet, go with Best of the Runaways. To deep dive into their albums, go with Queen of Noise, their self-titled debut, and Waiting for the Night. Now, I know that Joan Jett is already in the hall because of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts being in, but it is finally time for her, Sandy West, Mickey Steele, Lita Ford, Sherry Curry, Peggy Foster, Jackie Fox, Vicky Blue, and Lori McAllister to finally get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame together as the Runaways. Thank you. In America, the main lobby group for the recording industry and the one who gives out the Grammy Awards is the Recording Academy. Its Canadian equivalent is the Canadian Academy for the Recording Arts and Sciences. Their version of the Grammys are the Juno Awards. In 1978, the Canadian Academy started inducting groups into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. The physical hall was opened in 2016 as part of the National Music Center on Level 5 of Studio Bell on 850 4th Street Southeast in Calgary, Alberta. The center is normally open Thursday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The price of admission is to pay what you can. As with everything these days, check with their website for hours of operation and tickets. StudioBell.ca is its website, and we will throw that into the show notes. Unlike the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which normally has six or more artists inducted, depending on various category committees, the Canadian Hall usually only inducts one group into its hall per year. In fact, it's only inducted more than one artist per year six times since 1978. Canada has produced some great music acts over the decades. There's Rush, Neil Young, Alanis Morissette, Leonard Cohen, Joni Mitchell, and the list goes on and on. For my money, though, this next act was one of the best acts to come out of the Great White North in the 1980s. Bryan Adams was born in Kingston, Ontario in 1959. His father was in the Canadian Diplomatic Corps, so Bryan traveled a lot as a child. By the time Bryan was 15, the family had moved to Vancouver, Canada. He started playing in a band called Sweeney Todd, which had a minor hit with the song Roxy Roller. Bryan then quit the band about a year after that. Bryan formed his own band, and in 1978 he signed a record deal with A&M Records. Most artists get big signing bonuses, which are really just loans for recording studio fees and the like. Bryan's signing bonus? $1. Not sure if that was a U.S. dollar or a Canadian one, because Canadian dollars are usually worth more. In any event, Bryan released his first album in 1980, which was a moderate hit in Canada. He followed that up with the album You Want It, You Got It, which also did okay. His 1983 third album, Cuts Like a Knife, was the album that burst the dam wide open. The songs Straight from the Heart, Cuts Like a Knife, and This Time became big international hits, thanks to MTV playing the music videos for the songs. Bryan continued the run with the mega smash album Reckless, which went to number one on the Billboard charts. That album had the songs Run to You, Summer of 69, Somebody, It's Only Love with the late great Tina Turner, who was in the middle of her comeback with the album Private Dancer at that point, and One Night Love Affair. The album Into the Fire closed out the 1980s and had the hits Heat of the Night and Hearts on Fire. As the 1990s rolled around, Bryan actually continued his winning streak. The album Waking Up the Neighbors went to number one, thanks to the huge hit Everything I Do It For You, which, by the way, was also on the soundtrack to the movie Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, which starred Kevin Costner attempting to pull off a British accent and failing absolutely miserably. Really, really miserably. Just saying. Also, the song has garnered some notoriety for being one of the go-to songs for politicians to play at their campaign rallies, whether Bryan wants them to play it or not. The album also had the hits Thought I Died and Gone to Heaven, Can't Stop This Thing We Started, as well as Do I Have to Say the Words? Bryan had a few more hits in the 1990s, including Please Forgive Me and The Only Thing That Looks Good on Me Is You. He also had two more songs on soundtrack albums, Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman from Don Juan DeMarco, and his song with Rod Stewart and Sting, All for Love, from the movie The Three Musketeers. Even though he hasn't been as big a force in the new millennium as he was in the latter half of the old millennium, his concerts are still really popular, and he's written songs for the Broadway musical Pretty Woman. When taken as a whole, it makes that $1 bonus seem like a pretty good investment at the time. Bryan Adams, inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in 2006. And that is it for this episode of the Music Halls of Fame podcast. For more podcast episodes, which drop every Thursday in audio and video form, then please like, subscribe, and click the notification bell on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio Podcast, CastBox, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.